Story, Sal? We're recording. I always got a lot of stories. So Joe and I did these seminars called Lost Secrets of Strength. They were great. You got that? That's right, the DVD. He's a veteran. He knows. But I met Joe in his office. I was like, Joe, you ready to go? You want me to slap you in the face before you like come out and do this? He's like, I could do this. So he got all hyped up. But the story is, I was at a, I'm not going to give it away too much because then I kind of am going to, I am talking about somebody and I'm not going to mention names, right? So not mention names, but I was at a seminar during my lifetime, so nobody actually knows who or when it was or where it was. But the guy was like doing like a big like thing before his presentation. He was warming up heavily, just going, like the whole thing was a show. And then I was like, man, this guy's going to kill the presentation. And then when he presented, I was like, kind of sucked. No pressure on me after I said that, though, right? So, all right, guys, a lot of parallels to what Joe spoke about, and what Joe emphasized from the beginning is, you know, these are our experiences, and those, you know, how things could be applied change also according to where you are and what you're doing, even to the point of, at one stage, I had a location 45 minutes north of here. You know, like Central Jersey. Joe is in North Jersey. Here we're considered the Jersey Shore. I thought everything would run as smooth and as equal as that one location, and it was really different. And I love to really be transparent and share the many ups and downs. Joe mentioned a couple things with like health scares or health issues, and so I kind of actually forgot about that stuff. So when I go through a little bit of my timeline, I'm going to share that stuff. So just so you know, it's never smooth sailing for me. There's plenty of ups. There's also down times. I think that's why these kind of gatherings are good, because you know, not that you see comfort in somebody else saying, hey, man, I've been through that as well. But you just know that there's also a way out of it. You know, there's a way out of it. Usually the way out of it is to do shit, right? That could have been the only slide needed, and we could have sent you guys home. All right, do shit. I'm talking, if you want to ask questions, feel free, or write a question down, wait for the end, and when we do the Q&A. I got a little bit of a timeline here to kind of break down how things started, and like I said earlier, after Joe did his thing, I was like, if we were in school, the teacher so would have been like, I need to see you two boys. I want to know who copied who, right? Who did? It could have been, did you guys see Key and Peele when he's the substitute teacher? And he's like making all those names. And then be like, I didn't copy, you know, this is just what we did. And then he takes everything, he's like, son of a bitch! That's what would happen. All right, so this timeline says 2002 to 2021. If I really go back to the first coaching, I look back even into high school. You know, I was so obsessed with training. In the middle of every book was Flex Magazine, and a baseball player would see me, a football player would be like, Zach, write me a workout for shoulders, for legs. And I wasn't so focused on the school. I had a notebook and I was constantly just loved programming. My first coaching job was in a hospital fitness center, which I learned a ton from because of communicating with adults of all different walks of life. They had a lot of employees from the hospital. From the COO to, I remember, the guy who was in charge of the radiology department, to Dr. Ken Liebman, who was in charge of the neuroscience department. You know, there was times where I'd work 6 a.m. I worked Saturdays and Sundays, 8 to 4 p.m. When I turned 21, I remember the guys I worked with were older, and they were like, when you turn 21, it's gone, we're gonna party. And so I turned 21 in December. I go through final exams. My first outing as a 21-year-old is in New York City, for New Year's Eve. And that's where I learned that on a Friday or Saturday night when we go to the city, we basically go hard until 4 a.m., then you drive back to Jersey, you eat at a diner, and then you work from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on no sleep. Then you train. So I always say to you young guys, you know, I'm out working you and out partying you. So you gotta like, you gotta pick one or the other. But that hospital fitness center taught me a lot with working with people of, as we call, you know, different personality traits. type A people. It was connected to cardiac rehab. So I'd work with people who got, you know, essentially graduated cardiac rehab. In the summertime, parents would bring in their kids. And that's when I started learning to train athletes. But something that hit me the most was the communication skills, which you don't really learn until you immerse yourself in coaching, including coaching people you don't really want to actually work with, or maybe you thought you don't want to work with. And then you realize, wow, I really like working with adults. I thought I didn't want to train adults. So a lot of experiences I picked up working in that hospital. I'm not going to really, you know, get into the story here, but what after Joe speaking about some health scares, I'll share some unique up and down times. So in 2001, I started out of my parents' garage, which was kind of like, you know, it was a one-car garage, very low ceilings. And it was really in an effort to me because I wanted to get out of this kind of new gyms that were opening. Fitness started, hardcore gyms were shutting down, and I loved being in hardcore gyms. So I said, I'll build it myself. And as a teacher, I wanted to make money in the summer. So I charged $5 per session because the gym I used to go to was a $5 day pass. So I trained a couple local kids for $5. That became $15. Once kind of the fall got a little bit cold, that was over. The first house my fiance and I bought, we weren't even married, was a complete redo. It was a gut. But in between this period leading up to that, I had started really immersing myself in learning. Joe had the Ask Joe Q&A. Then we had Elite FTS. There may have been like a couple other forums, but not a whole lot. But luckily, I was able to come across the right information. So leading up to the house, I immersed myself in so much research of training wrestlers and athletes and just, you know, the world of strength and conditioning that, you know, Gags mentions I was Mr. Israel. I just want to put that out there. I had. Guys, also, like, when I joke, you need to fucking laugh, you know? They barely laughed in that first joke, and they fucked the whole thing up, all right? I had that bodybuilding background, and I understood technique. And the reason why that comes about is sometimes I'll see videos from a major Division I university of bad technique. Somebody doing a touch-and-go box squat, or like bridging off of the bench. We don't want that. And I think that's why you gotta be an expert first and foremost in the coaching. That's gonna be the ticket, is your ability to provide great results. Because even in these early years when people were like, I ain't telling anybody about this place, Zach, this is my secret. When other parents saw their kids perform, they could no longer keep it a secret. They were like, dude, how is your son 25 pounds heavier? Or wrestling, kid gets jacked, basketball, you know, they're wearing tank tops all the time. So the ability to provide results was huge. This house was a complete gut. I mean, we ripped down ceilings, walls, we replaced pipes, everything. But the first thing that was redone was the garage. And we redid the garage and it looked like a professional fitness studio. Painted beautiful, steel diamond plating on the ground, commercial gym equipment from Elite FTS, Westside Barbell. So some of you are in your garage, okay? Make it look pro. So even though they're coming into a house, they feel like, whoa, this the first impression, you know, is like, poof, this guy, this girl, they kick ass. I stayed in the house until the first warehouse of May 2007, which was in my hometown. The house started, you know, I would coach kids after teaching. I would do like a 5 p.m., 6 p.m., maybe a 7 p.m. And now that I look back, as a father, it was really shady, you know, because I said things like, here's what you do. You pull up to the house. You don't knock on my door. You wait for the garage door to open. Then you send your kid into the garage. And you wait in your car, then the garage door closes. That sounds very like, I would never, now that I'm a dad, I would be like, no thanks. But back then, you know who was doing this stuff? You had Joe, you had Jason Ferrugia. Joe, you probably remember Dwayne Carlisle, but he was down in, you know, pretty deep South Jersey in that Philly area. So their strength and conditioning was such a anomaly that people, they were blown away by it. So automatically, because it was so rare, it already had a higher value. So I struggled in the beginning. I couldn't get members. I fucking couldn't give it away. But what happened was I learned to do 100 things to get one member. You know, I built my own websites. There was no social media at the time, but I started writing for the local newspaper for the, it was called The Locker Room. It was like sports training tips. And then the scary thing was, I'm training out of my house. Is this illegal? Do I put up a website? You know, there were so many things, but you just had to go for it. I was creating ebooks. I was doing a lot of things to find one person. And when I finally got a client was when I went to a wrestling club, and the wrestling club was holding a camp, was supposed to be packed with like 30 something people. There were single digit kids there. And I was like, looked at the coach. I was like, oh, I thought there was gonna be like 30 something guys here. He's like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened. So I was like, oh my God, this is gonna not be good. I took them through a bodyweight workout. Now I could do that stuff with my eyes closed. But back then, I had things written on index cards and I had like a red Adidas bag. So I took them through the warm up. I was like, all right, get a water break. I went to get a water break. Then I like flipped the index card to see what I was going to do next. At the end of that seminar, I remember finally saying, this is what I do. This is the result of what's gonna happen when you train with me. And you're either coming with me. If you're coming with me, you're gonna be winning. We're gonna be kicking ass. If you're not coming with me, you're sitting in the stands watching us. And I was like, here is a special offer, and it ends when I walk out the door. And a dad signed up two sons, which I wasn't ready for. He's like, I have two boys. Do you have a family discount? You know, I didn't have answers for those things, but you learn to come up with answers on the spot. There's a lot of imperfections. Then another kid signed up. So we had three members. I worked hard to build it up to the point where I could get that first warehouse. I overthought a lot of things leading up to that first warehouse. And finally, the gym that I used to go to, they rented a space right next to their gym. Why? A gym opened up a quarter mile, a half mile up the street, and their gym was known as hardcore. The gym up the street started having spin classes, body pump classes, martial arts, you know, all in one. This kind of hardcore gym was like, oh, we got to change. We got to be like that. So they had this warehouse, actually it was a garage, and they started doing martial, they started copying. What do you think happened when they copied? What do you think happened to that business? Yeah, it wasn't them. It wasn't what they were about. And that place went out. Then it became an illegal gambling center. So when I went to look at the place, and I still remember Manoli, it was like a lot of like Greeks up there. They always like hung out together. So Manoli, I'm telling him what I do. He's like, you should check out this spot that I have. I'm like, I've been thinking of renting a space. hey, how long do you get a lease for? Any of these things. I was going on, it's so long ago, I remember being on a Yahoo business forum with all these like business mentors, and they would, people with MBAs, people that had all this, you know, quote unquote experience. And I was like, well, I'm training people out of my garage, I'm insured, da, da, da. And then somebody was like, that's illegal. And I was like, just asking for a friend. Then deleted like, deleted like my whole account. And I was like, these guys are telling me not to do it. Another friend, he had a small private training studio. He was up in Millburn, which is an affluent area up in North Jersey. And him too, he's like, Zach, you cannot do that stuff out of your garage. He's like, if your neighbors call, they'll shut you down. And there was so much going on. And then Manoli shows me the illegal gambling garage, and it looked huge compared to my garage. High ceilings. I'm like, oh my God, we'll be able to barbell press overhead. But when I looked at it, I kind of just envisioned what it would be. As soon as I said, all right, I could do this. The rent was going to be $1,500 for the first 2 months. Then it was going to be $1,650. I was like, okay, I got to earn $3,000 from coaching athletes. So I double the rent. Whereas the mistake a lot of people make is they outfit a whole place, then they open up the garage, and then they're like, I'm open. Where are you? I had already written a gazillion ebooks. I had written for men's health, men's fitness, muscle and fitness. So I created a 3-ring binder with all my articles. Fighters Only magazine. These are magazines that don't even exist anymore, but I had myself positioned as an expert, and I had 20 members ready to go. They were in the garage. When I opened up that garage, a lot of them were seniors, and then they went to college, and then had like a tough time in the fall. And so, opened up May 2007, I'm still a teacher. In the fall, kind of like what Joe was talking about, you get some people that come and they're like, almost like, back then there was no social media, so it's like parent influencers. There's certain parents or maybe adults in workplaces, they say something and people listen. Well, I had these two kids come from a local private school. They started training. How they found out was one of the neighbors dates the kid's sister and told his, you know, hey, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, I know this guy, he's a strength coach. What, they don't know what a strength coach is. These two kids came, then we had a bunch of kids just snowballing from the private school. And a lot of like interesting, as Joe knows, in like the private schools, so many interesting people that you learn to talk one way to somebody pulling up in the beat up pickup truck. I'll talk to this dad a little differently in the Jaguar. What about the dad who's in the mob, right? Talk to him slightly differently. So, you know, and these are all true stories. Another guy had a scrap yard, so anytime he paid was like pulled out the wad of cash. And I learned to listen to people, and I'm gonna touch on that later. I really paid attention to the words they used and things that they were talking about. And the reason why I say that is sometimes as a coach, what you stand for, you wanna push it on to people. You know, especially if you're a strength coach and somebody's, a dad says, I need to bring my daughter for speed and agility. And then you're like, well, the only way to get fast is you got to get strong. Well, they're not, they don't even know what the fuck they're talking about anyway. And now you're telling them that they're wrong. So I learned to listen to what they said, to learn to talk to people the right way. I had this location until this first warehouse went until right about when I had my Scotch Plains location. Fast forward here, 2012. I've been in this town, we're 2021, my son is almost 13. I'm here something like 11 and a half years now. I come to this town, I'm commuting up to my gym up in Edison, and it's a 45 minute, 50 minute drive each way. I've got other coaches working up there. And when I'm here, I notice it's such a tight-knit community. It's this little town. It's like a one-square-mile town. And I was not looking for a gym in this town. I was looking for gyms in 15 to 20 minutes away. For a long time, I was looking. Probably 2 years. Ironically, I gave myself a deadline. I need to have a gym by certain time. Right after Hurricane Sandy, this town, who's from this area? What's your name again, buddy? Ryan?
Ryan, yeah. Washington?
Yeah. When was Hurricane Sandy? 8 years ago? Okay, 10 years ago. Hurricane Sandy, so we're a mile from the beach. It destroyed that area. When Hurricane Sandy hit my gym in Edison, I must have lost over 50% of the members because a lot of those people had homes down the shore or they had a boat. And now they had to fix the boat, fix the flooded house. My gym went from pumping to like ghost town. I remember it was like 1 to 2 kids per group, and then maybe one group, it was either the 4 p.m. or the 7 p.m. would be busy. And that was not good. It felt like there was an economic recession in New Jersey, especially up in my Edison gym, which was direct central New Jersey. Well, then this Manasquan warehouse opens up. I'll go with my wife. We check it out. It looks like a torture chamber in here. It was an ultimate dump. So it used to be a machine shop. Then it was like a cabinet shop. So it was like grease with sawdust everywhere. I mean, it was a dump. But I always try to visualize things. And I remember standing kind of like roundabout where RJ was, and the landlord's in here. He's like, you could make this happen. And I'm thinking to myself, the rent was so cheap. And I'm looking around and my wife says, the rent is cheap. And I just looked at the math. All right, I think it was like 1,100 bucks a month. That's very cheap for 2,200 square feet. And I'm like, okay, if my average membership is 200 bucks a month, You know, essentially I need, you know, like 20 members and I'm already at double. I could get 20 members. That could be easy. One thing I underestimated was just investing in the equipment, flooring, getting people to show up in a place that nobody even knows. You can't see it from the street, but I completely like missed the bullseye on that. So around this time, it's December 2012, my online business starts kind of like slowly going down, because around 2012, the kind of solo entrepreneur like Joe and I, now there was kind of this younger generation coming up with high-end film editing, just changed the whole game. It wasn't good enough to be raw anymore. My gym up north is struggling. I signed the lease here because I'm like, man, I don't want to keep going back and forth. We start working, cleaning the place. I'm borrowing stuff from this guy. The guy who had the auto shop was great. He was a younger guy. He came in here with a scissor lift. My son's helping me. We're painting. We're doing everything. The stress, Joe mentioned stress, starts kind of like overtaking me. My income, easily 50% down. I left teaching. My teaching job was 94 grand a year for 10 months. I left that. Now it's fucking real. My wife hadn't gone back to work because my son was young. How old was my son? He must have been like 3 years old. You know, my wife went back to work once my son got to first grade full time. But I had multiple full time incomes coming in. And then that Hurricane Sandy changed things and a couple other things I'll get into. And it was like right after the holidays, I don't even know what I had. I felt like I had like pneumonia, the flu. I had guys covering for me at the gym up north. My body felt like heavy. I think I went like 6 weeks without lifting. I'd never like fucking 6 days without lifting is, you know, really weird for me. 6 weeks, I felt like shit. I didn't even come in here. I'm paying rent on a place that I needed to get up and running. And finally, I had to just fucking say, man, you gotta fucking get tough and get this shit going. And I had to adjust coaching staff up there. I had a great coach up there who was very entrepreneurial, who went on to do his own thing. And I'm like, fuck, I gotta run this gym and that gym, but I need a clone. So I hired one of the guys that was lifting, who loved lifting with me, who was an athletic trainer at the college. He hated it. And he wound up becoming a coach for me. But guess what? I opened this place 4 days a week. I couldn't even open it 6 days a week or whatever the perfect business model was. So I've got the Edison gym, I've got this gym. And then in 2013, the weather gets warmer and I'm like, this town is so homey, right? A lot of you guys who came here, like, I love this town. It's so great. Everybody knows everybody. And I'm thinking to myself, for years, I see all these small businesses putting posters inside other small businesses. Like, they're going to support you. And I was like, man, I'm gonna help this town. I'm gonna help every kid in this town. I'm gonna build this place up. So I go to this Dairy Queen that I take my kids to all the time and I say, hey, I opened up a strength and conditioning club in town. You know, I've been fucking buying ice cream for 4 years. Maybe you could put a sign. Maybe you could put a sign up, a little paper. He's like, oh, I don't know. We really don't do that. And it was like a knife to my heart. I'm like, dude, I fucking bought like $1 million worth of ice cream and we can't put a sign up. He wouldn't do it. So then I go to the local pet store, which I'm buying, you know, overpriced food. That's like $80. That's probably 40. You know, I'm like, shop local, shop local. You see the signs everywhere. I ask them, they put it up in their front door. Some 2 to 3 days later, it's off. And I was like, yeah, MFers. If I was a little younger, I did some of those things in my younger years. You know, I'm not saying it was right, but little street justice. But I started realizing, whoa, I wanted this place, not because it was close to home, but because I wanted to take care of the place I lived where my kids were gonna grow up. Every year I did, since 2007, a fundraiser for leukemia and lymphoma. We called it Lift Strong. Okay, did it every year. Found out that the local assistant football coach had cancer. I reach out to the coaches, psh, crickets. I'm emailing, I call, you name it. Then I find a local guy who was involved with football, and I tell him about it. He's like, kind of was like a guy who could like get the word out. This place was pumping. Who was here for that first one? It would have been 2013. Lift Strong in the summer. Gags, were you?
I've been on so many of them. So
it's a blur. There was 115 people here.
Did we do the rising deadlift?
Correct. It may have been, okay, that may have been the first one. The fundraiser was going to go 50% to Leukemia and Lymphoma, 50% we're going to write a check to this coach to help with medical bills, because I saw it in the newspaper. We get the local newspaper to come, multiple local newspapers. My buddy from a prep school down south comes, brings like 30-something kids. The football team, with the coach with cancer, brings four kids. It's 100-plus people in here. There's four kids, and they all donate $20, the minimum. People were donating 80, 100, 250. It was like gangbusters. And somebody says, where's the Manasquan football team? I go, right there. He's like, where? I go, those four kids. He's like, dude, that's fucking embarrassing. And I was like, whoa. And so the point is, you think you're taking care of people, you know, giving. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But I never quit. I've done that fundraiser every year minus last summer. This gym grew slow and steady by doing a lot of free stuff. 2014, I get a phone call while coming home from Vermont. I did a strength coach mastermind up there. I had gone up there in 2013. I used to help out at Blair Academy. The Blair wrestling coach is now running the guys to prep them for the Olympics. He's like, Zach, you want to come up and train some of the wrestlers? We got the Lehigh Valley Wrestling Club. Come up for a day? Absolutely, I'll come up. I go up. I had, at this point, guys, really started to fall in love more so with training, whereas these early years, I was doing some business stuff, masterminds. A lot of coaches were calling me, so I was answering their kind of problems. I kind of didn't want to do anything to do with business. I didn't want to have to do anything to do with other coaches. No offense. I wanted to just train and immerse myself. I remember saying to myself, I got to get better. I got to be a fucking better coach. I go up there. I fucking crush it. I warm them up in the oldest like wrestling room. It was just, man, goosebumps. Exposed wooden beams. All these black and white photos of all Americans from like 1940 till 2012. Then I'm in a weight room with them. It's like 700 square feet weight room. Three racks like this, we crush it. I didn't realize that was a job interview. The coach kind of walks me around campus, show me around. This is what we're building. This is what we're doing. I'm like, man, it's beautiful here. Love it. It's like, let me know, you know, how I could help you. I don't know how I could help you. I don't even live near here. You know, it was almost like 2 hours away. I was like, so just tell me what you need and I'll try to help you out. He goes, all right, we need you. And I was like, I don't even know what to say. I go home the next year. They call me while I'm driving. And he's like, Zach, we fundraised $25,000. We could pay you 25 grand to coach for the year. I'm like, dude, I think my gas money is going to be more than 25 grand going up to that place. And then I'm like, I don't even know how I'm going to do this. So what do you do when you're married? I'll call. Let me ask my wife. See what she says. I call my wife. She's like, Zach, do this. This could open up more windows. I'm like, Danielle, I can't do this. Like, how am I going to get there? I'm going to be there in the morning. I'm going to be driving 2 hours. She's like, you could do it. She's like, you're tough. You've done tougher things. You've done hard things. I coach him for a full year. I'd go up twice a week. You know, it was an hour and 45-minute drive. If I didn't hit traffic, I'd leave around 5:30. I'd coach three groups. Then I'd drive to my gym about an hour and 15 minutes away. Then I remember coaching from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I'm driving like 4 hours. I'm coaching 8 hours. And now I got a great story for you guys. Then we're going to get through this slide fast. This story's great. Because, Joe, you inspired me with the health problems. So it's the fall of 2014. That kind of high activity of driving a lot, sleeping less. I've got this gym. I've got my Edison gym. We're getting busy again. I don't have any software to manage anything. I'm doing everything through paper. I start getting sick. You start kind of feeling like you got a little cold or flu bug going on. It starts getting worse. I'm in like my second or third week coaching and now I have no voice. And it's like, I'm trying to coach them. I can't even talk. So my wife is a nurse. I tell her, she's like, oh, you got, you know, XYZ. She's like, take this pill. It's an antibiotic. And I remember like my stomach was so messed up from that thing. I was like crapping all the time. So it gets a little better, guys. It gets a little better. So I'm exhausted. It's a Thursday night. I had coached, you know, my gym, Lehigh. I'm driving home. I'm kind of dozing off. I get off the highway and there's this turn to get on Atlantic Road and there's like trees and bushes. So I kind of slowly go out. I didn't really hit the brakes. And then I see cars coming and I'm like, oh fuck. And so I floor it. I floor it. Do you know this story, Gags? Do you know it?
I don't want to spoil it.
You do know it? You know it? It's a great story. I pull out, I floor it, I'm like, fuck, sorry, I'm going this, sorry. It's like a Jeep behind me, all jacked up. He high beams me and gets like right up my ass. I'm like, oh, don't be fucking with the wrong guy right now. You know? They like get next to me. They're like getting all right near me. And I'm like, sorry. Then a motorcycle pulls up next to me. He's like throttling it. Fucking sparks are flying out. And I'm exhausted. I'm sick. My throat. All I want to do is go to bed. That's all I'm thinking about. They fucking take off. And I'm like, man, I can't believe that. I'm so tired. And then I'm like, I will not be able to fall asleep if I let those motherfuckers get away with this. So then... This is what happens when you grow up in like the central to North Jersey, right, Joe? Then all of a sudden I'm like, that's it, street justice time. So I start fucking flooring it and I start following them and every turn leads them into this town. And right when they get here, the railroad tracks go and they zip through. So the railroad tracks go down, they block me, I'm sitting at the railroad tracks. My stomach starts getting messed up from these stupid antibiotics my wife told me. So I'm like, oh, my stomach's killing me. I pull in over there. I go back here. I take a crap. And then I'm like, do I go home? And then I'm like, no, don't go home. Find that Jeep and motorcycle. I drive all the way to the end of town. I drive back and I'm almost home. And then who do I see? Parked on the side with the Jeep and the two motorcycles. And I'm like, oh man. So I put the window down, fucking give them like a good Hollywood movie stare. And then I fucking do a U-turn. And I said, hey, I think I said something to the effect of this. I was like, hey, I didn't mean to cut you off. That was my fault. I'm not feeling good. I'm tired. And the guy said, you know, that's how people get killed, or said something like that. Then I get out of my car. And this is before any surgery, so I was actually kind of jacked. It's pretty big. I think I was like a solid 225. And I was like... I started screaming at him. I was like, you got out my fucking ass. And I was like, I got kids. You could have killed me. And then he's like, sorry, man, calm down. And then I go, I'm fucking crazy. I'm fucking... I start announcing that I'm crazy. And the two guys on the motorcycle will not get off the motorcycles. It's like, calm down, sir, calm down. And I remember a store was opening. They were working on it. It's like 9:15 at night. And they're looking. And I'm like, I'm fucking crazy. I'm screaming. So I go home. I flip at him. He's like, sorry, sir. Calm down, sir. I go home. And my wife's like, you were laughing in your sleep last night. What are you doing? So she's like, what are you laughing at? I was like, man, my wife, like, you can't hide anything from her. So I tell her. And I was like, I was like, my stomach was so messed up. And then she's like, those antibiotics were actually for the dog, but they're the same thing. they're the same thing, whether it's for the dog or the human. I was like, my stomach was killing me. And then I was like, and she's like, they're steroids. She's like, you had a roid rage. That's what she told me. So I blame my wife for that. But that was like a good street justice time. Okay, now, around this time, guys, 2016, I'm going to hustle through here. Some old friends... coaches that I knew reached out to me because they had been sending wrestlers that they coached to me from about 25 minutes north. Kids that were really struggling, you know, they'd have like 3 or 4 wins and 25 losses. Then they train with me for a year, go to a club, then it's like 25-3. They're like, we're partnering with a guy. He's opening this building. He's got world-class jiu-jitsu in there. We got a boxing guy in there who was, you know, a heavyweight runner-up. I'm going to be in the club. The missing link is the underground. We need you. And I had gone through this phase of saying no to every meeting. I started saying no to everything. This gym was busy. I had software going. I didn't need to manage it. My Edison gym, I was going there once a week. The coaches were awesome. Everything was just quote unquote perfect. Then all of a sudden, two guys are like, I got accepted into the police academy. It's either happening in December or like right after the holiday. So I'm like, all right, those two coaches are gonna be gone. Then another coach telling me he wants to open his own gym, I'm like, this guy will be the head coach. And then at the same time as this kind of Scotch Plains opportunity being offered to me, a guy who also knew me, you know, knew of me, he had a baseball facility and he had already set up about like 3/4 the size of this. He had 2 squat racks, he had turf, he had some equipment. I already had a system going with the software and with our training and this kid who wanted to do it full time. So I started saying yes to things. I went through probably 4 years of saying, you want to have a meeting with me? No. You want to do something with me? No. Like I'm just want to coach and go home. Tunnel vision, like Joe was saying. So I go to the baseball facility. I'm like, this makes sense. There's a bunch of baseball players coming through here nonstop. They need it. They don't have it. We're going to offer it to them. Boom, makes sense. We'll go 50-50 we'll pay the coach and then there'll be a 50-50 split. I won't be there, I'll develop the coaches. I'll do all the social media marketing, blah, 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 blah. We're gonna open on a Monday in the baseball facility. Saturday, the dude who's gonna be my full-time coach in there, he's like, I think I can only coach for 1 month and then I'm gonna work with my dad. And it's like, dude, we have people signed up. And you told me this is what you want to do full time. And it's starting Monday. And you're giving me like a 36-hour notice that now I got to train somebody else. So I go back to a guy that used to coach for me. He's coaching at Rutgers. I'm like, dude, I don't know if you could do this, but this shit just happened. And it goes to show you how crazy, how things can be so perfect and smooth and all of a sudden so crazy. So I was like, okay, you're fired. I ain't even fucking hiring you now. You're fired. I usually try to fire people before they could quit. It's like a good, gah, you know? Usually like, get them. So we get the baseball facility. I do the kind of opening clinic. We're thinking we're going to be packed. We barely have kids sign up. I'm thinking we have like a dozen kids sign up. So we're already in the negative, all right? We're in the negative. I buy extra equipment, trick it all out. Now we're in the negative. This place opens up. One of my coaches from here, I tell my partner up there, I need a guy who's gonna be full-time. I need him to get health insurance. I need to treat him better than a college would treat him. We get all that. We struggle here also. We struggle here. We don't take, me and my partner take zero money for, I don't know, many months. This place starts pumping. This place gives me more than 1 million headaches. Now my partner's like, okay, now we don't just train baseball players. Look, the baseball players don't want to train. Can you get any wrestlers here? What about hockey players? Now I'm contacting hockey, this, that. It's a fucking mess. Low hassle, high profit has been my philosophy. That shit exhausted me. The guy kept dragging it on, and finally I was like, done. When that ended, I'll explain something later. 2017, I get hired at Rutgers. The way that works is I'm doing a podcast, a FaceTime, Facebook Live. The head Rutgers wrestling coach sends me a text message. Strength coach leaving. We need you. Call me. I didn't put it in here, but I think somewhere around like 2010, Rutgers wrestling used to travel to my gym. So in 2010, I was kind of like a Division I like strength coach without any certifications, minus my own, right? Now I'm coaching at Rutgers. That does not end very well, not because of me, but because I took a stand for shitty pay, shitty hours, and just that whole college strength and conditioning world not being good. I returned to teaching at the elementary school because I never liked counting on one thing. I count on just the gym, I count on just this. 2018, while teaching here, I get invited to work with Naval Special Warfare Development Group, SEAL Team 6. It was like such a disconnect for me to be training like the world's best military and still teaching. But sometimes things aren't going your way and you have to just keep showing up. Around this time, I remember this was like February or March, I remember it was kind of warm in Virginia. Not long after, somebody contacts me about a position that might open up at a high school. I get hired at the end of the summer as a full-time high school strength coach, doing, you know, my own kind of schedule, my own everything, basically. Now let's get into the business stuff. I took too long on that, and Joe addressed a lot of this, so I'll be able to, it's so funny, Joe, look who said solve problem and change lives. I'm telling you, we copied each other. We're gonna stay back. We're gonna have summer school. This is the ticket. You must solve a problem. All right, like knees over toes guy, knee pain. Before I had surgery, and as a father, you kind of put your health last, you're taking care of everybody else. I did all kinds of alternative stuff, but I'm researching knee pain. Or when I taught at the middle school, I remember a kid's dad wanted to fight me, and the dad was like an Irish bare knuckles brawler. So I remember researching street fighting. There was a lot of like, you know, there was all of these things about like how to handle yourself in a street fight, because I would be out and I'd see the guy walking around, be like, man, I gotta fucking get ready to fight this guy. And so they were solving a problem. I bought a lot of things that had to do with street fighting. Changing lives, I always say, is the minimum effective dose. Strength and conditioning is like it's just like a surface. It's the vehicle for changing lives. You know, do I have kids that go to Division I schools? Yes, sometimes. Division III? Sometimes. Some kids don't even do sports in college, even though we've trained them here. And that's why you gotta focus on being somebody who changes their lives, whether you're training the housewives, the athlete, the dads, anybody. You have to dig deeper than the squatting and, you know, the methods and whatnot. Of course, that stuff's super important. You know, I mentioned technique, and knowing being a great, great coach is crucial. But changing lives, how do you know you're doing it right? You'll get messages from the people that you train, from the parents, from the adults, and they talk about how they're indebted to you forever. And when you do that, you're, you know, these experts who've never run gyms and talked to you about a business model. We have kids that started here in middle school that they're still training here. They come back from college and they still train here. They weighed 80 pounds, 100 pounds. Now they're 180, 200. They've doubled in size. There's kids, like the first thing they do when they get back from college breaks, any breaks, it's like they go home and come straight to the underground. Your biggest advantage is a starving crowd. Don't create something for people who don't need it. Joe mentioned Brett Contreras, and we were saying, you know, his business is crushing it. He is an extremely smart guy. Yeah, he's a PhD in glutes, but he's crazy smart with strength and conditioning. He's very big into the research aspect. He's training women, you know? John trains all men. And I remember John and I did a business consult, and I was like, man, that's pretty tricky, but he's crushing it. But I'll be honest with you. If, you know, we have a lot of men here, all men, minus one lady. Men, we're not really the best listeners. We're not. Hate to break it to you. You don't, like, you know, you want to get ripped, but then you don't want to follow through. Women, they're like, I'll get fucking ripped. I'll build my butt muscles. They'll do whatever they got to do. Brett Contreras has a starving crowd that will invest in themselves. He solves a problem. Initially, the problem is what I call on the surface. It's kind of like physical. But deep down, when we keep asking, why do you want, you know, your legs bigger, your butt bigger, whatever makes somebody more confident and feel better about themselves is crucial. And so you're peeling away the layers about why somebody wants something. So initially, people come to a strength coach for, I got to get my son stronger, I got to get my son faster. But if I peel away the layers, here's where it gets tough. It pains a father to watch his son lose every wrestling match. It just kills him. It's like a knife to the heart. Or playing football but actually sitting the bench all the time. Or you name it, the child's pain pains the parents so much, they just can't handle to see that anymore. And so you need to be able to kind of connect on those levels. And I've become an infinitely better coach since I became a dad. I just train people differently. I talk to them differently. I even, you know, my job now I feel like is to protect the kid. You know, yeah, the end result is they get stronger, bigger, faster, tougher. But my job is to protect them in a lot of different ways than just sport. So you train them in a way, and then I'm talking to them about life. You know, it gets deeper. Okay. Does your location really matter? When I was in Edison, I was central. It wasn't a very affluent area. Where Joe is in North Jersey is some of the most affluent areas of the country. This area, this is really tricky, guys, with the who, the income, the attitude. You come here and you see all these fancy cars and you see big houses and you're like, damn, there's gotta be a lot of money around here. Then you realize it's the attitude. There's people here where maybe there's one person working. Oftentimes, you know, the man of the house is working, but they're going paycheck to paycheck, but they want that fancy car. This is a big social area. They want to invest more in the newest red wine and have people over the house than they want their kid to train. When I first opened here, my prices were something like $125 a month for middle school, $175 a month for high school, like half of what I used to do. People in this town were like, oh my God, like they were struggling. They were like, oh my God, this is a stretch for me. And I'm like, how the hell, like these houses are like now more expensive, but back then, like that's a $700,000 house they're in. And then I learned many people inherited their homes from here. Many people they're just barely getting by, paycheck to paycheck. Many people chose to invest in that new, you know, Land Rover, Defender, versus take that money, put it into their kids. Me, like, I look at, like, I got a Toyota 4Runner, almost 200,000 miles on it. And I remember, in this kind of, like, strange way, I've shared the story, but when my wife and I got married, we went on our honeymoon to Aruba. Every morning, I'd go early to get, like, the umbrella or the cabana thing. And this one guy, I was always online with him, but one day he was talking about how he had just gone hunting to Africa, and he brought a bodyguard with him to guard the game so lions wouldn't come and attack him at night. And I was like, damn, money. You know, I was thinking to myself, I was married at age 29 maybe. I was like, whoa, what does this guy do? Later that day, I remember I was like in the water. He was there with his wife, his three daughters, their husbands, da-da-da. And we had seen each other, and he's like, what do you do, kid? And he starts asking me what I do. I said, well, I'm just getting into business. He starts telling me what he does. He's a construction worker. He's like, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. He's like, if I sold my house, he was in, starts with the letter R up north, Joe. Ramsey. Ramsey. He's like, I got it. You know, I love up in Ramsey. He's like, if I sold that house now with everything in it, it'd probably be like $1.2 million. He's like, I've been a construction worker since I was, you know, right out of high school. He's like, don't let people tell you any different. Don't let them say that you don't need to be working. He's like, you need your pulse on that business. You gotta be working. He's like, the other thing is, it takes time before you step out. He was like in his 50s. He's like, now when somebody wants me to do a job, I tell them how I'm doing the job. Somebody wants me to build something for them in Florida. He's like, I tell them, all right, I'll work for you in Florida, but you gotta let me stay in your house. I'm playing golf until 10 a.m. and then I'll work on your house from like 12 to 3. That's how I'm doing it, period, end of story. He's like, I don't drive a fancy car. He's like, I still got like a beat up pickup truck with roll down windows. He's like, I don't put my money in that stuff. He's like, last night we went out to dinner. It was $1,000. You know, my daughter's husbands wanna pay. He's like, I pick up the tab. He's like, cause I could do that now. He's like, cause I did business the right way. What he was saying was, he worked his ass off. He kept showing up. He wasn't like an absentee, you know, contractor. He got his hands dirty, okay? And so that was a business lesson for me. Income in the area is important. You know, I've shared a story where I paid Gary Vee $3,000 for a business consult. He's like, who's in Edison? Nobody's in Edison. There's no pro athletes here. You got to go to North Jersey. And I'm like, I live in Edison. I can't like be going up to North Jersey. But what he was saying that I didn't really pick up on is you got to be in an affluent area where people don't worry about $200 or $500 a month. Where I coach at a high school, you know, I'm a full-time high school strength coach there. A lot of those kids still go to a private coach. They still go to a private coach because a couple hundred extra bucks for their parents, it's nothing. They wipe their butt with, you know, a couple hundred bucks. And so you need to be in a place where people are not so worried about money. That baseball facility I was in, they had money for baseball or strength and conditioning. And what are they going to do? Baseball. They're not going to do the strength and conditioning. Now, location, we're hidden here. The rent was very low. If I would have been in an area where people could see me, then I wouldn't have had to spend so much time trying to pump the Instagram and the YouTube and the keywords and all this stuff. So there are advantages to being in front of eyes, because even though people's eyeballs are always down on their phone, you want, there's a lot of power in people seeing the thing all the time, seeing your place. And that's sometimes how people came to my first location. We were off a main road and they'd see kids running and flipping tires. And, you know, people still say, oh, they're looking on the phone all the time. You'd be amazed at like how many people in this town still don't know I'm here after 8 years because they can't even see us. Okay. So food for thought with location. All right. Rules of business. Really important here. I've always said business, not always. Business could be run any way you want. I opened up 4 days a week here in the beginning. You could go Monday through Friday. You could only train in the morning. I've known people that do a 6 a.m. and a 6 p.m. and done. Michael and I have a friend, when he first did his business, it was one group. It was a women's boot camp. It was 5:30 a.m. Boom, done. Those were different times though. He had like 100 women training with him. You know, then he opened different business models. But what was interesting was, he's like, I don't really like working. He's like, so I'm just going to do this one group, knock it out of the park, and be done. Ethics are number one, meaning don't hurt people. Treat people as you want to be treated. The golden rule. You know, sometimes you question, like, how could your neighbor, you know, Ryan's training out of his garage, you're training out of your garage, your neighbor calls the cops. You're like, dude, I'm just trying to help people. But, you know, we've seen some interesting things, especially since COVID. genuinely care. We can't teach you that. That's all up to you. When you genuinely want to help people, you'll have that energy. You'll have that fight inside of you. This, you know, 110% effort expected at all times. I have a pet peeve. Like, coaches cannot be lazy. Samson worked for me in Edison. I was very hard on him. I admit, I'm very hard, and I don't call myself the boss, the leader. I say we. I don't want to manage you. I don't want to even tell you what the fuck to do, minus, you know, check in with me on an email. I want you, like that little thing on the floor there, it shouldn't even be there. Neither should that. Pick it up when you walk by it. The bathroom, even when I just go into the bathroom, I wipe it down. That's just a habit, you know? If somebody pooped in there, I clean it. I do, man. It's like, that's just what I do. 110% effort as a coach. It doesn't matter. Honestly, right, Joe, if we're sick, if you're having communication problems with your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, whatever, that's none of their business. You can't bring that energy in. That goes in your back pocket, and you compartmentalize it, and when you come in, boom, you're in. I still remember Samson had like a wrist problem. In the beginning, I made coaches train with the kids, and like, remember you were benching, and then he was like, ah, and I was like, dude, it doesn't matter if you hurt. Right now you're training with this group and you need to inspire them. And nobody cares about your wrist, like Mark Bell with the elbow. Like, fuck your elbow. Nobody cares. I'm not saying I don't care about you as a coach or we work together. What I'm saying is the most important person are those people walking through your doors. Always remember that. Sometimes you're trying to get more people through the doors. You forget that the people coming in, even if it's one person, they need everything you got. And I think Joe hit that home really good. Do you? Decline money if it's not agreeing with your morals or standards. Joe's done that. Dude, everything he said, it's like, I'm like, whoa, I'm right there. I've had times where a kid trained with me. Our membership always renews on the first of the month. So it's very easy. Somebody complained about something. It was like the 28th. I was like, okay, no problem. We trained that kid all month already. That's 200, 300 bucks. I refunded all of it. Now you don't own me. That's why, like, I got this shirt, like, owned by no man. I'm never in a position where my back is against the wall. If I don't agree with it, I could always tell you to go fuck yourself. Always. That's why, like, if the school thing's not working out, I got the gym and the online. If gym and online doesn't work out, I've got the school thing. There's always kind of like another, you know, even that's probably a big thing why I like the online is because I never want to be like, oh, I need Nelson. I got to pay the heating bill. I need this kid. I can't let him go. And you'll feel that like somebody's sucking the energy out of you. A couple days ago, a dad said, listen, you know, my son, he's got basketball during the week, basketball on the weekend. Do you have another option? It's 195 bucks a month. He's like, that's a bit expensive for what he's getting. Now, secret that doesn't leave this room. I have an assistant. Her name is Sarah. I'm the assistant, all right? So, not in no freaky way. Like, it's just an alter name, all right? Meaning, I learned that as a coach, I give my cell number out. I'm cool with that. But then they treat you as a friend, right? They treat you as a friend. They text you. Well, Sarah is not friends with anybody. She does, boom, these are the rules. Here's the agreement. So Sarah emails back and says, I will let Zach know that we'll cancel your membership the end of this month. He's like, whoa, 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 I didn't mention anything about canceling. Is there another option? Sarah says, he's in the middle school option. When he goes to high school, there's $295 a month, you know, for short term, $195 a month for this. I'll get back Monday. Please let me know if you want to cancel. So, and then also a little trick, and it's, you know, if you're religious, don't get upset. Usually if you say God bless, nobody's coming back at you. Like, you know, God bless, nobody's going to come back at you. So what I avoided was people coming to me as the friend. Hey, you know, look, I've known you for a long time. Honestly, when I think of my own kids, I'm not worried about $100, $200, or $300 at all. And when somebody's worried about $100, then if they don't think it's valuable enough, then I really don't want that money. Does that make sense to you? All right, next one. Ethics part two. And I'm going to be honest with you, I learned kind of this first time from you, Joe. I'm going to share a story that you remember, but maybe forgot about it a little bit. Well, I was actually Joe's first like business consult. You know, I emailed him for 6 months. I wanted to see what he was doing with the storage. You see photos of it. And I remember just from the persona I got, I assumed that there was going to be an assistant when I walked in. I don't know if you remember me saying this, but I met him in the storage closet. Sarah did not work yet. And it was interesting, you know, Joe comes in, sits down at the desk, and I'm like, where's the secretary? Where's the like person that manages Joe? And so here we are, you know, that would have probably been maybe 05. You know, with social media, now you get always a different, a feel. You think what you see is what's always there. You know, you don't really understand what's kind of actually right there. I think I went back to this. I spoke about do not steal. When Joe opened his first facility outside of the storage closet, he had his two best friends coaching with him. I don't know how long you grew up with them for. I believe you went to high school with them. Did you know them before that? I can't.
No, high school.
High school. Best friends. You know, Joe and I had become friends. I think we were on the Elite FTS Q&A. We'd hop on the phone here and there. And Joe tells me that his grandma is looking through the newspaper. And there's like a little blurb about a new gym being opened with these two guys' names. During the time, they're working with him, for him, whatever words you want to say, and on the side, opening another gym. He doesn't say anything to them. It's like just going on. And I remember saying to myself, man, what kind of friend would do that? Like, who would do that, period? You know, I don't care. Like, somebody's in front of me. They want to go do something. No, you go first. You want to get your hair cut first? You get your hair cut first. I would never, you know, be in a gym and then open it up down the street, which was essentially, they were pretty close.
Literally.
Right. And I remember it like hurt my heart, yet it wasn't my gym, it wasn't my friends, and I was like, what human could do that? And guys, unfortunately, that's what people do. They can fucking do that shit. It's crazy, you know? And so when I do talk about business, I say do it however you want, but don't hurt people. Don't hurt people and don't steal from people. Nobody's gonna come and save you. You gotta do shit. You could have business partners. You could think that this next deal is going to be it. This next location is going to be it. It still requires you to be the guy pedaling the bike. You got to be the guy, the girl doing the work. All right? You can't ride the coattails of others. You might partner with somebody. I was on a phone Zoom call after my surgery. And they're like, this company's going to be big. We want you to be a part of it. And I'm like, look, guys. I'm not going to be another guy who comes on board because you know I'm a worker and I'm going to provide you with content and do more shit that makes you money. Like, I've learned I'm just going to do my own thing. And so they were looking at me to kind of like help them push something. Like, I can't save you. You got to still do the work. And so you might think that this next sponsorship, person, partner, school is saving you. There's always going to be a struggle with it. Even I'm coaching at a high school. I still have to sell myself to the kids. They still go to private coaches. It's crazy. Okay? Here's red flags, red flag behaviors that I've learned through the private and the colleges. No drama. I want no fucking drama and no gossip. If they talk about other people behind their back when you're around, they talk behind your back when you're not around. I learned this at college. I learned this in the private industry. And it's, you know, I'm a emotionally driven guy, which is a weakness for me, because you don't want emotions to drive your decisions. For example, I've said it before, but when I turned down the Rutgers position, you know, there was some things like ethics wise I didn't like going on. The pay for me, I turned it down because I was like, if I take this job, I now support this strength and conditioning college model for everybody else to continue working crazy hours, take time away from your family, and get crappy pay. I knew that I couldn't support it. I actually cried when I turned down the job. I cried in front of the director because I loved those kids. I loved coaching. I cried. But guess what? Peace out, Zach. Zach didn't take the offer. We'll get somebody else in. And they started having meetings without me about replacing me that I didn't know. So I gave 2 weeks before they could tell me I was out. Gotta get them. Gotta be fast on that shit. All right. Told you guys that. When you have a business partner, if you have a contract written up, which you should, have another attorney look it over for details. Does anybody here have a legal background? No? Well, you probably have a friend that's an attorney, even if it's like a real estate attorney and not like a, you know, they could look through stuff and say, look, dude, you're supposed to be, you know, partners 50-50 with this guy, but you're going to be paying this and this and that. And now it looks like, 70-30 for the other person. So that's important. Exit strategy is something I'm going to tackle, and I think in the next slide. But it's something I'm now thinking of now that I'm older. When you get into a business, you know, Joe spoke about this day, tunnel vision. But when you get 45, 50s, we have a lot of age ranges. Anybody here in there? We have some 20s. Okay, Fran, 60s? 60. You know, but Fran, are you retired from that?
No, I still work for school.
Work for school. You worked for like wildlife or something before, right?
I have a wildlife business.
Okay. So you know, looking at businesses now, and also was looking at Joe's business, Joe, if he wanted to, if he was like, man, F this, he could sell the supplement business to another supplement company. He could sell, you could probably sell the DeFranco's Insider to a big bodybuilding website, right? But he probably can't sell DeFranco's gym training, you know? And this gym would be pretty tough for me to sell, although having the software, having the former members, having all that stuff, it helps. I can bring somebody in and say, listen, you can kind of revamp this business structure. You could bring somebody here in the morning. We could maybe reactivate the former members. Maybe their parents want to come in if you offer something different. This is hard to see, but in the black and red, it says abundance mindset. I've never said, I'm going to dominate. You know, Joe was saying, he's like, look, man, I just wanted to be great. I don't say, I'm going to dominate. I'm going to take over. To me, that sounds like I don't want anybody else to win. I love seeing people winning. I love it. I love seeing people happy doing what they want to do. To me, that's winning. So have an abundance mindset. Don't worry about, you know, I'm in a little town here. There's multiple facilities in this town. Yeah, and I don't care. I don't worry about it. Bring people together and don't create separation. I am very red flag weary of people who cause separation. Private sector, college sector, in the schools. You know, I've been in a lot of kind of different places. And so I steer clear of people who do any of this shit. You're talking about people, boom, you're out. You're not bringing value. You start kind of, this is a partner for me. Now he or she starts kind of fizzling out, not doing what they said they would do. You're not being true to your word. I'm out. I'm not going to waste my time carrying people. Always be ready, essentially, to be like Rambo in First Blood. Do we see First Blood, everybody? Yes or no? Because if you didn't, you get the fuck out of here. And also, The Equalizer. So you need to be like John Rambo and Equalizer Part 1. I mean, ultimate. You know what I'm saying? That's essentially how you're going to need, you need grit and toughness when you are your own, you know, business owner. Okay? I think I really hit home, you know, I mentioned Joe's friends. I've been in that situation too, where you're like, man, that guy was my friend, and he just took that business and started it, you know, the same thing. When it's like, friends, you don't do that, you know? And, you know, Joe mentioned some of the celebrities he's worked with. How did I start working a lot with Joe DeSena? I just helped him. I never asked for anything. Same thing with Ultimate Warrior. I think he thought it was weird that I never asked him for anything. Like, probably in the beginning, he's probably like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? He didn't even ask me to like start anything. When he spoke at the Underground Strength Conference, he asked me to do it. He's like, Zach, if you help me with this project, then I will speak at your conference if you'll have me, you know? And him too, they were like, how do I pay you? How do I pay you back? And I always told those guys, I said, did you ever have a friend that did something for you and then did another thing for you and needed your help and never called you back and said, yo, I helped you 10 times. You helped me 7. Fucking, where's the other 3 helping? Don't keep score. Be a legit friend. Building wealth is something I've been thinking about. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't realize the red wouldn't stand out, but you'll get the PDF. I really think about this a lot. Can you sell it? I think about it a lot because sometimes we might be moving to Florida, this, that. Last summer, and actually the beginning of COVID, I was offered 2 positions to work with Special Ops Military. So I was like, oh my God, if I go to Florida, I got to sell this gym. I can't just shut it down. So you want to have systems in place. I have a software system that a business person could come in and look at and then hire good people to become coaches. And then what other systems do we have? Joe has CPPS. I've got the new certification. You know, I had the Underground Strength Coach cert. Now I've got the Strength and Sport Performance Coach. Boom, here's how you train people. Here's a system. Here's what I do when a trial comes in. So having stuff in place that adds value to somebody who could be a potential buyer. Does that make sense, guys? I could probably dig into it when we do Q&A. Making money in your sleep. All right, it's In red, it says, avoid trading time for dollars. That's the worst way to make money, where you only get paid when you do the thing. Joe doesn't have to do something with the supplements. They're being made. They're buying from all around the country. So you have to learn to make money even when you're in your sleep. Ironically, the guys I work with at the high school, you know, they're all coaches. I remember the one coach, he's a lacrosse coach. He's like, now that you're here, you need to find a way to make money doing something else while you're here. So I have free time when I'm there. I'm working on the internet. What has he got going on? Lacrosse skill camps. By the way, girls lacrosse. He doesn't do boys lacrosse. Very hungry market. Okay? Very hungry market. Accumulate and build assets that make you money in your sleep. An asset is something that you could sell. This right here is a photo of the bottom is like a warehouse area, and then the top is office space or living. So I was just looking at like what's in Manasquan. I can't remember the price of this, but basically I could run my business down here. We could live upstairs. Other things you could do is you could buy a building, purchase a building, and if you own the building, so the business, let's say, Underground Strength Coach LLC, I create another LLC or a DBA. Let's say that would be name something like Zach's Mr. Israel Realtors. And now Underground Strength pays Mr. Israel's Realtors. And now that becomes a write-off. And pay attention to taxes. I'm not a financial guy, but my one buddy was like, hey, you know what changed with Trump? Was that you can't write off entertainment expenses. So we all go out, Gags is like, drinks on the house, here's my credit card. Then it's like a $500 bill. He doesn't get to write that off. So you just pay attention to ways that you can use tax system to work for you. Super important. So here, I think about this a lot. I started renting a building in 2007, all right? 14 years I'm renting. Do the math. You know how much money that is? That's gone. But now I'm really looking for something I could own. Okay? You gotta have income beyond the gym, doing some other stuff. If you were like me and then that Hurricane Sandy hit or a recession hits, I mean, when Hurricane Sandy hit this town, it was like a bad movie. People were sleeping in tents. What if my gym is majority Manasquan people? Which it's not, but what if your gym is majority, I always say Smithville, Alabama, wherever you live, you know, it has to, money's gotta come in through different ways, guys. It's gotta come in through different ways. Sales versus marketing. Joe mentioned this stuff. Sales is when people feel like you're pushing it on them, okay? I mean, and so marketing is, you gotta listen to people. What do they talk about? I have listened to the way parents speak about what they're looking for. They may not technically know the wording, and I may not agree with the word core strength, but when they talk to me, I'll use the word core strength. I'll use the word speed and agility. I'll use their language. I will not say conjugate system, max effort. I will not say strength endurance. I won't say words that don't connect with them. Ask questions, you know? John wants his son Michael to train with me. He fills out the form. John, thanks for being interested in the Underground Strength Gym for your son Michael. Just give me a little background on Michael and what you're looking for. Well, Michael plays, you know, what sports did you do, Michael?
Kickboxing.
Michael's in kickboxing. He's been competing, but now he's in this higher age group, and these guys are stronger, they're more powerful, and to be honest with you, you know, last time he broke his nose, and now he's got like a lack of confidence, and he doesn't know if he wants to do it, and I've been watching your videos. I watched the videos with Michael. Did I sell John anything? He's telling me every reason why he needs Michael to train. I just said, please tell me about Michael. That's what I do, guys. I just ask questions. I don't push anything on anybody. There's no pressure. Before somebody comes here, they've gone through the whole website. The prices are in the bottom, so there's been a lot of testimonials to read through, like Joe was talking about. That makes them see the value before they get to the price. They just see the price, they're deciding on money. They do the trial only after they've thoroughly gone through that whole website. When you're done, I'll say, John, I had a great time with Michael. He did awesome. If he legitimately did awesome, I say that. If he struggled, I might say, you know, he struggled with like listening. You know, I'm not so sure, he might be too young for this. So I'm going to be honest with you. And then I say, I'm talking to you as a dad, not business guy. We could wait 6 months. We could wait a year and retry this, because I don't want you to put money into this if he's not really ready for this. You know, I think in my earlier days, I was very abrasive and I would be like, fuck this kid, he don't do it. You know, I got crazy. Still a little crazy, but back then I think I was really nuts. So there's no pressure, but I would say, John, talk, you know, John, he might say, we're ready to go now. And I say, no rush, no pressure. I go, talk it over with Michael, talk it over with whoever's at home, because you never know who's living at home, who else influences the decision. And I go, and if you want to do it, you could send us an email and Sarah will help you from there. Boom, I'm out. You're not allowed to text me anymore or call me. You could go to Sarah. Pretty simple. Okay, so there's no pressure. I'm not following up with them, nothing. I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but I don't want to change. If you really want to come, you'll come. Okay, share success stories. Joe said that. Look at this, Joe. Videos, screenshots. Your website can be nothing but success stories, before and afters. For those of you training people out of your garage, where are you guys? How many people we got? A couple. Even if you're not in your garage, but I always tell people in the beginning, if you're struggling, get your friends, do a 6-week transformation challenge. They all put $50 in, $100 in. The winner takes all at the end. You get before and after photos, you train them, you get videos, you get all the media from it. So I think a website could be all success stories. Speak their language, I mentioned that. This is always big, stories of overcoming struggle, so they can relate to you. Joe spoke about it himself. We're fucking twins, like Arnold and Danny DeVito, but I don't want to be Danny DeVito, man. All right, Do You is a book by Russell Simmons. I had the audio. He spoke a lot about declining very big business deals because he's like, I just don't agree with that. You know, Joe takes those supplements. That makes sense. I take a protein powder sometimes. I'm not gonna start a supplement brand because it's just not in my heart. I'll never be able to legitimately tell you about it. This book really hit home for me. I got it on audio too, Gene Simmons, Sex, Money, Kiss. What hit me with that was Kiss was a band. His bandmates blew all kinds of money on drugs. They would live in Manhattan in the penthouse. They weren't allowed to buy it, so they rented it, but they marbled everything from top to bottom. Then they got divorced. Like, they did all these things that blew their money. He's like, I didn't drink alcohol. I went and got like a shitty studio in the East Village while they were blowing it. He's like, then we saw a bunch of people copying, doing Kiss cover bands. He's like, so I put together a Kiss convention. I sent them a legal notice that we're gonna sue them, or they could come and perform at our Kiss convention. He goes, and then at the Kiss convention, we sold all of our clothing, all of our Kiss dolls. So he found ways to turn any negative into a positive. He spun it to him, he leveraged everything. And that to me was always on my mind. How do you leverage what happens under this roof to go out? For example, John, I mentioned this because I know John, he has the men's group. If you had a doctor's appointment during COVID, you did a telecall. I had to do telecalls. Well, that's going to be our future with some stuff, guys. It will be. Joe, you've probably done a lot of that, right? Certainly.
Kids doctor appointments.
Yeah. But I'm talking about like people, coaches contacting you, athletes from afar, tele-powerlifting, you name it. You know, FaceTime, that's going to be the thing. It says learn to say no. I said no to a lot of things. I've said yes to some things. Some things work out. Some things don't. I'll tell you when things honestly don't work out is like when my partner is not doing the work. I exit. I'm like, boom, I'm out of here. If you can't fucking do work, I can't be with you. I need a worker. And if you're not ethical, if you're trying to screw me with money, you got to get out of that. You understand that, guys? There's no, oh, maybe he'll be better next month. He's screwing you now, he's screwing you next month. MSI is multiple streams of income. You make money from the gym, even little things like selling shirts every other month. You supplements in your gym. That's, if you believe in supplements, get them in your gym. Get the ones that you use. Become a distributor, okay? Have another way that somebody's coming to you for support. Because if you don't have the supplements, they're going to GNC or wherever else they go. Being online is a must, meaning I don't like Instagram, guys. I don't like any of the stuff, actually, any of the online stuff. But you need to be online. Because when somebody wants to train with you, they Google you. Now, are they going to come across great videos and great Instagram? They research you. How do I know that? Parents tell me, I've been stalking you for 6 months. It's all about their timing. So you got to have something good. Joe was talking about differentiation. Here, look at this. Dude, we did the same shit, Joe. This is from a Naval. I really like this guy. But look, escape competition through authenticity. Coaches are very like, we're competitive. So you're like, oh, you know, John Smith Fitness opened up. Yeah, I got it. Just be you. If people like you, they'll be with you. If they don't like you, they'll go to John Smith. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. Okay? Don't copy others. You just got to be you. Here, we're known for work, not getting it all pretty. Is our training great? Yes. But I don't try to fake it and make you do like stupid drills. I'm not going to do that. You can't pay me enough money to fake it. Like, kids got to work. And also, when I see kids that come here from those places, they struggle because they didn't do the right stuff. They did fake stuff. No, is anybody here doing fake stuff? Just checking. All right. Stay true to you. That means, you know, at the end of the day, can you say to the most important people in your life, this is what I did, and be proud of it. Anytime I veered from what I stood for, my business would struggle. And also, it's because I was looking at what other people in the fitness industry or strength industry. I don't really consider myself part of this fitness industry. I don't really, you know, I'm more of like strength industry. Business model, methods, etc. Don't copy other people. You don't know how it's working for them. I like simple, low hassle, high profit. Find something simple that works for you and simple for them. Why do you buy stuff off Amazon, by the way? What's that? Who said? Convenience. It's so easy. Boom, boom, boom. The checkout process is easy. Don't complicate things. People are very, we're so like focused on our time now. It's, you know, always on the phone. Look at this. Look at that. Like, don't make anything complicated. Hey, here's how we sign up. This is what it costs. It'll prorate. It'll renew on the first of the month. You want to cancel? Email Sarah 2 weeks before. Bang. Done. End of story. That's it. Be a pro. Be a pro as a coach with your skills, with the way you speak to people, with the way you represent your business. In my early years, you know, I look at some of those early YouTube videos. I was nuts. Probably an idiot, actually. You know, did a lot of like just stupid things. I look back and I'm like, whew, that was not really professional. Cursing a lot. I was young, but like, it's just not good. So be a pro. Dress the part. I remember when I went for my interview at this high school, I had a nice suit on. My hair looks kind of good. All right. The guy who was next to me was a mess. He was a mess. All right. Now, I know you got a beard. If you got a beard, don't be upset. He had like a beard, but it was not nuts. Ryan looks good. You're looking good, dude. This thing was like, it was nuts. His hair was crazy, and he had a binder, but it wasn't neat. There was like papers everywhere. It looked like he was in a tornado and walked in. And I was like, I'm going to destroy this guy. Because I was just clean. That's it. You need to be clean, look good, smell good, be a pro. Even if you're in garage. Make it look good. I remember a kid, I had like cleaned the garage. He's like, man, it smells good in here. You know, I sprayed it with the Mr. Clean stuff. You got to be a pro. This book was originally for authors, but turning pro, I keep it on my desk because it reminds me, you got to do whatever is necessary to be a pro. Sometimes I don't like things. I don't like doing Instagram. But you know what? If it needs to get done, I'm doing it. Whatever it takes to keep this business pumping. Invest in yourself. Joe hammered that home. Long money. Long money means I may not have a lot of money right now, but I'm going to put money into this thing that will pay me back later. So my certification is going to cost a lot of money to record it. a lot of money. But that's going to be long money that will pay me. Sometimes as coaches or any small business owner, they're so worried about, I don't have the money for this. Well, will that thing pay you back for a lifetime? Think about the kids that you're training, you know, or the people that you train. How long will they stay with you for, right? How long are they going to stay with you for? Time. These are the things that are really important, guys. Experiences. Multiplying your efforts. That way, when you're experiencing things, like you're on vacation, something else is going on. You're on vacation, shirts are selling. Supplements are being sold out of your gym. An online program for somebody who leaves your gym. Okay, listen, I can't train with you anymore. Joe, right? Joe, I can't train with you anymore. Dude, don't sweat it. I've got an online program. We could move you into that if you'd like to. There's always like, you're multiplying your efforts. Grow and evolve. I've changed a lot. I've experienced a lot of stuff. Some very good, some awesome. Some stuff just broke my heart. I learned to just grow with it, you know, and not let it hold me down, because you could, those things get you sick. I didn't mention when I was working at the college, I drove myself to the national tournament in Ohio. My wife thinks I must have gotten like some early COVID, she says. I was coughing for what seemed like 2 months. I lost all this weight, went to Florida with my daughter for her tennis. I couldn't stop coughing. She calls my wife. I had to go to like a walk-in ER, and I was like, had this pneumonia, this, that. They put a needle in my butt and I got better. Good medicine. But I just remember like, man, I fucking drove myself to a tournament at a college that has a gazillion dollars. Nobody paid for anything. I got sick as a dog. It interrupted family time, and I didn't take care of myself, which is a problem for a lot of coaches. You're so busy taking care of everybody else, trying to do for them, that you don't take care of yourself, and then you can't have these experiences. This photo really hit home for me. It's like, reminds me of just like time with my kids. You know, my kids are really big now. It's kind of crazy. Prepare to evolve. This is important, guys. Pay attention here. Evolve your training. You know, I have that word speed and agility. You might be a strength guy, but if that's not what's bringing people in, you know, go online and get a speed certification. You know, learn from Lee Taft and Pat Beath and all those guys. Get better at your craft to give people what they want, okay? This is really interesting. Cryptocurrency membership options. Some guy from Iran wanted me to coach him and said, can I pay you in Bitcoin? I don't know how to take Bitcoin. But you know what? The kids I trained in college, they're now doing all these things with all these tokens, this and that. For the younger generation, Michael probably would know best, anybody in their 20s. Joe, you're in your early 20s, mid-20s. Like, they have a handle on that. Things are changing, guys, that we may not be ready for, and we need to kind of dig into some of this stuff. Change with the times, the wants, and the needs of the world and the people. You got to change with them. If your business isn't working, figure out, why do people leave you? Why did they go to the other place? What did the other place offer? What do you stand for? Figure out what you need to improve upon.
Is that, nope.
Fuck you. Uncle Joey, always late. We're ready? Okay, guys. Uncle Joey's always late. Guys, even if you're young, okay, be prepared to sell. Do you have a network of possible buyers? I do have people with money that I think would be interested in coming in and maybe rearranging a few things. And I got to tell you, some of those people, I said no to a lot of their, hey, just come meet me for a cup of coffee. I remember Gary Vaynerchuk saying, I came across, he's like, just say yes to that meeting. You never know what'll happen. I was saying no to a lot of stuff because everything was going great. This place was pumping. Edison was pumping. But you never know when things will change. So I'm glad I started saying yes to some things. Have software in place to manage things. Okay? It's very hard with paper. That'll make you nuts. I was very stressed out until I started using Wattify. And I basically wanted to remove things that I hated to do, which was billing, attendance, all those things. Bang, now I got it. Earn money without you ever being there. Is that a possible business model for you? I know guys that they're like, dude, my gym runs better without me there. And sometimes, I come here, I don't try to tell my coaches, hey, do this, do that. I'll jump in and intersperse a little bit, but sometimes it's like the kids are tired of hearing, you know, crazy Zach screaming about him, squatting down all the way, and they need somebody else that kind of gives them a different feel for it. And that is an absolute model that you could do. You could build up the gym if you love the marketing aspect. You handle the marketing. Somebody else could handle the coaching. That's something you should be prepared to do. Joe, I'm assuming you kind of have something like that going on. You're probably handling the high-profile people. Calvin doing others. Yep. Yeah, and I remember Ryan Lee in like 2003 saying, he's like, man, you could do something with your business where if they want to train with you, it's like this big sticker shock price, very expensive. If you want to train with another coach, it's like 50% less. You could do that, especially when you get to a very high level. And if your, your perception, you know? If somebody sees you training, you know, Joe trains pros, celebrities, their perception of his knowledge goes up. Let's say Joe wasn't a good coach. He's obviously the man, but let's just say he wasn't. It doesn't matter because people see him training these high-level people. And so, boom, perception goes up. That's why businesses will hire like a former athlete as a celebrity to endorse their product. You know, they know who they're working with. I saw yesterday a Peloton commercial. It was interesting. There was a man doing like the workout, you know, dumbbell thrusters, abs. That man looked like mid-50s, a little bit of gray hair. Then the woman on the bike, maybe late 20s, early 30s. I was like, man, they know exactly who they're speaking to. Okay, so you gotta, what's the perception? Success, Joe shared success. This was a real interesting one. I'm not gonna read it. You'll get the PDF. But what's important to you? Guys, important shift for me. I wanna make breakfast for my family. I wanna be able to have dinner with the family. And I love coaching. I like boots on the ground building bad motherfuckers. That's like what I do. That's important to me. It's important to me to stay true to that. Okay? If I'm ever veering from that, you know, I feel it. So write down what it means for you to be, what's success. This is your homework, guys. You'll do this on your own. Your perfect day, I do this once a month. You write it down with no rules. What does it look like? From start to end, where are you? Where do you go to work? Who do you speak with? All these things. You revisit it monthly, and then you reverse engineer it. It's like saying, I want to bench 315. How do we get there? Reverse engineer it. Look at your weaknesses, okay? One day a week, you need to kind of disappear from things, even if it's for 2 hours, and work on yourself. I remember hearing like an early, you know, guy I went to for business, Dan Kennedy. I would look at his No BS books, but he spoke about this guy. I don't recall what the business was, but he said the guy always said that his most important time was he had this little shack somewhere near a lake, and in that shack was just a little refrigerator with some like sodas and soft drinks and a cassette radio player, and he'd go in there and work on head trip stuff. He'd listen to Napoleon Hill, things that get your mind in the right place. We are all consumers of all this bull crap, Instagram, this, that. And once you're comparing yourself to them, I've been there, you start feeling not right. And so you need to get away from that. Because like I said, remember when I met Joe, I'm like, where's Sarah? Where's the secretary? You know, you think one thing, but we don't really know what the actual life looks like. Craft your life. Don't worry about anybody else's shit. The what if lesson, guys, this is also your homework. What if I only trained women? What if I only trained men? What if I only ran my gym Monday, Wednesday, Thursday? You know, what if I only took cash? What if I only trained middle school athletes? What if I only trained female athletes? It's just an experiment to get you to think outside the norm, because we don't need you don't need another strength and conditioning, you know, the same old, same old. There's got to be some differentiation. And this what if lesson can change as you get older and everything else changes. Okay? That's all I got for you guys. We're going to take a very short break and write down any questions you have for Joe and I. And we'll get into the Q&A in, it's 4:32, 4:40, 8 minutes.